Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And we're live with this Tuesday edition of the program. Glad to have you with us today. Of course, we're getting a day closer to the next IU contest, the Hoosiers on the road Wednesday night at Rutgers. And I'm going to talk about that game a lot today, and including here in a few moments in the headlines segment, and kind of explain to you, even in the Big Ten Conference standings at this point, why it's a big game for Indiana to get on the road. And quite frankly, it's a game where they should have a real opportunity to win, even if they aren't playing their best. But I'll explain that to you here in just a few moments. And of course, for Indiana, this team, they just need something positive to happen. They need to pick up a win. They need to get out and play and get off to a good start. And at some point, some of these things have to happen. If they're working on it in practice, and if it's, we know that they've got some talented guys like Juwan Morgan and Romeo Langford, and that they're not taking on a team like Michigan or someone that's at the top of the conference that's got all types of firepower to come out and just drown you early, you've got to believe this is a game where things positive can happen. And even if it's a close nip-and-tuck game down the stretch, that Indiana can win this one. So I know that's thinking positive to start the show, given where this team is at and how they have played over the last six games. And there have been struggles in games leading up to those six games as well. But that's, I guess, a positive outlook as you think about the Rutgers game. The matchups, when you think about them and read about them on paper, are sure not as daunting of tasks defensively for Indiana, or who is going to be guarding Romeo and Juwan Morgan. Obviously not the same level of players that they faced in some of these more recent games. So the way I see it, Indiana's got to win Tuesday. It's not a home game, but it's Rutgers. And they're not at the top of the conference. They're not really at the middle of the conference. They're in the bottom half of the conference, and Indiana needs this victory so they can kind of crawl out of that same area potentially as where Rutgers is at right now as well. So we'll talk about that game a lot more today here on this Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report. Let's jump into the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, our Hoosier headlines, our news of the day presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. We'll go through some of the notes from Archie Miller's show last night. Interesting. I didn't get to listen to all of it live. I did go back and listen to a few moments of it, some of the key moments, clips of it from last night recorded. But interesting to hear his demeanor and how he addresses some of the questions. Again, he's a coach that clearly is frustrated, a coach that hasn't been giving us a lot in the post-game press conferences, been trying to get through those as quickly as possible. But when you've got an hour sit-down show and Don Fisher is the host, obviously you're going to get something. And so he was able to address some key things, I thought, about this team last night, and we'll talk about those coming up here in segment one. Also, we'll take a look at the Big Ten Conference standings as we are now in the final days of January, still a month or so, I guess just over a month, of just by a shade of regular season Big Ten Conference games left before the Big Ten Conference tournament. And, of course, that's followed by the NCAA tournament. So we'll talk about, we'll tell you where IU is at in these standings as of today, and then we'll see where what this win is, if they can win at Rutgers, where it would place Indiana, because there's a lot of logjam in the back half of the conference standings right now, so a win or two can almost send you to the top half of the conference, to be quite honest with you. So we'll look at that here in just a second as well. Bracketology, Andy Bottoms from the Assembly Call and Inside the Hall. He's been with our program a lot in the past, and we'll start having him on to talk not just about IU's opportunities for the tournament, but Big Ten opportunities, just the tournament as a whole coming up here later next month. as we get a little bit closer to that stuff. He still has Indiana in right now, and he does a pretty good job. He's got a lot of reasoning for keeping the Hoosiers in right now, and we'll tell you about that coming up here in just a second as well. We'll have an update on Victor Oladipo, too. That's all in the first segment. Segment two today, Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star will be with me. Greg's segment is presented by Coffee Crossing. With Greg, we're going to talk about a number of topics today, but none more important than IU and their struggles. We'll get Greg's viewpoints on that. We'll also talk about Victor Oladipo as well and what his injury means to the Pacers. Obviously, very devastating. And but Victor Oladipo, in Victor Oladipo fashion, already with a real positive video message to fans that was put out on social media, I think yesterday. And again, very upbeat, very uplifting. A guy that's going to fight, you can tell, back to get back where he was at before this tragic injury that's going to end his season for the 18-19 NBA season. So we'll talk with Greg about those topics and I'm sure some other stuff as well. That segment is presented each week by Coffee Crossing. Then later in the hour, Mike Pegram of Pigs.com, he joins us. We'll be talking IU and Rutgers and looking at some of those matchups and looking at some of the things that IU needs to get going right to take home a victory, even though it's a road game in conference play on Tuesday. The guest lineup, it's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. If you mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, you'll receive $1 off your box lunch at the Honey Baked Ham location in New Albany. Okay, let's look at our Hoosier headlines. A summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Number of things to get to today. Girls sectionals. I do want to say this. Girls sectionals get underway tonight. There are a lot of games on Tuesday. There's actually a few games on Wednesday. Friday, the semifinals. Saturday evening, the championship games. If you're looking for a game to go to tonight, there's probably not a better matchup on paper that has the chance to be competitive than Jeffersonville taking on Bedford North Lawrence. BNL has just absolutely dominated the Hoosier Hills Conference and the local 4A sectional. That game is actually at New Albany tonight, so it's nearby. But if you're looking for a good game, a game that could be competitive, Jeffersonville probably, of those teams in that 4A girls sectional, has the best opportunity with the talent and the lineup they have to compete with and or beat Bedford. Although Floyd Central caught Bedford on an off night, and a very mediocre Floyd Central team able to get a win over them in the regular season. Kind of a shock of the year, really, as far as local upsets go in the high school basketball scene, both boys and girls. That would get my vote for the biggest upset of the year. But good game tonight. We'll see if Jeffersonville can knock them off. It'll be at New Albany. It's the lone Tuesday night game at that sectional, which is now a seven-team sectional because of North Harrison and their success factor points adding up. They bumped up last year to 4A, and they're there again this year. So that makes it a Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, a four-day deal instead of just three like many of the other sectionals across the state. So that's tonight as well. Lots of sectional games tonight. Tells you that we're real close to the boys tournament and, of course, March Madness coming up for college basketball as well. Big Ten Conference standings. A logjam right now in the bottom half of the conference. I count one, two, three, four teams. That would be Indiana, Northwestern, Rutgers, and Nebraska, all with 3-6 records in the conference. So I know other teams playing as well, but if Indiana can get a win on Wednesday night, that puts them to 4-6 in the conference, and they would jump above those three-win teams. You also have Ohio State just above that group of four that is 3-5 in the conference as well. So Indiana with a couple wins, and this goes for any of those teams from Ohio State down to Indiana in those three win, those 3-5, 3-6 records. If a team can string together a couple victories, depending on who they've got coming up, and if it's tough opponents or mediocre opponents in the conference, a couple wins would bump you really, if you're in one of those positions, to the middle or maybe even the upwards half of the conference, to be honest with you. So I think as far as conference goes, seeding for the Big Ten tournament goes, and just confidence for these teams, not just Indiana that are struggling a bit in conference play. The next couple of weeks are important to shake out kind of who's going to stay in the top, who's going to be in the middle, and who's going to definitely be at the bottom of the conference. Of course, below Ohio State, Northwestern, Rutgers, Nebraska, Indiana, you've got Illinois. They are 2-7 on the season in conference play, and really Penn State 0-9 at the very bottom of the conference. They've yet to win in the Big Ten. At the very top, still Michigan State. They're 9-1. Second place would be Michigan with an 8-1 record. Then you've got Purdue at 7-2, Maryland at 7-3, Wisconsin at 6-3. The top five or so teams in the standings as well. So a very important game for IU, obviously, to turn things around, to have an opportunity to win, to get a road win at that, but also in the conference as well. A win or two can bump them up to the middle pack, middle point of the conference for this season. Archie Miller, last night, we have him on every Monday night live here on the Big X Sports Radio. He's always at the Holiday Inn in Bloomington. And because of scheduling and games, this is the first time, I think, in 3 weeks that the show was actually live. And you got to hear some updated stuff from him directly sitting across the table from Don Fisher. And listening to some of those clips from last night, a lot of words came up over and over and over again, as you would expect them to right now. Lack of confidence, lots of talk about the team's personality and what's changed over the last couple weeks. The word leadership mentioned a lot, that there needs to be more leadership with this team. I think Archie Miller even saying it's, quote, up for grabs and something you don't have to be a senior at this point in time on our team to help grab leadership, was a quote when that topic came up as well. A little preview of IU Rutgers as well. I did find this interesting, and someone had sent me, I think, a tweet or a note about this, and I mentioned this on the air, but Archie had a team very early in his Dayton career, and it may have been his second year at Dayton. Definitely was year two or year three, where they had a very similar losing streak. I think it was five games put together right in the middle of conference play, and that team was able to bounce back. They were able to find a way to recover. They would go on to have a very good season that year, even though there were calls early in his time at Dayton for his head, basically, for his job. They were able to find a way to get through that tough period, and he actually talked with Don Fisher a little bit about that time and how they were able to, as a team, dig out of a hole like that. Of course, Indiana's troubles have now extended beyond the five-game streak that his Dayton team had. It's at six right now, so an opportunity to break that six-game stretch, losing stretch on Wednesday at Rutgers. He mentioned some things about the Rutgers team, and he even got a question from one of the audience members about why he didn't take a timeout earlier in the Michigan game when IU continued to fall behind earlier and more, earlier in the game. And we kind of got the stock answer from Archie when timeouts and things like that are discussed, waiting for a media timeout, trying to preserve timeouts for later in the game. But he did address that calling an early timeout when this team gets off on a bad start or gets off on a bad foot right out of the gate might be something that he needs to consider. It might be something that he needs to do. I know a lot of people say when you get down 6-0 or 8-0, call a timeout. Don't let it get to double digits or to 15 points when you're down 15-0 or 17-2 or something like that before you get a media timeout or before you call your first timeout. When you feel it's going bad early on, let's stop it, the bleeding while you can, and regroup. And a lot of people, fans, have voiced that. And so Archie Miller taking that question and answering it the way I mentioned that he did. So also noted on the show last night a couple injury things. Race Thompson is back practicing. We know that. It's a matter of him, it sounds like, getting back in shape where he can play a game, at least in reasonable basketball shape. And given the length that he's been off because of the concussion, even though he's been doing some things and allowed to do some physical things, there have been restrictions when you've got a concussion-type injury. So it's going to take him a while to get ready for game shape. But he missed practice on Monday because he's sick. So it seems like Race Thompson can't get a break trying to get back healthy and in game shape for this IU team, but he's continuing that process. Also, Archie Miller said he is hopeful to have Deron Davis back at some point. He had an ankle injury back at the beginning of this month in the Illinois game. They've used him sparingly, like for 2-3-4 minute stretches, one or two times in some of the more recent games, before finally last week deciding, you know what, this isn't working. These little stretches, we're not getting much out of him. He's not able to play at his near his potential, and we're going to just rest him. He's going to get healthy and return when he's closer to 100%. So those were some of the key moments last night from the Archie Miller Show. And again, it's live every Monday. I know that people may not be as excited to hear what he's got to say because of excitement about the team or next game or trying to, you know, get excited about what's going on. But it is still a good way to catch up and hear directly from the coach on Monday, especially when it's a live show that's not been recorded and it's live from the Holiday Inn in Bloomington. It's a really good opportunity to kind of see where he's at, and you get a little bit more from him than what you might get in some of the other media opportunities that he has after basketball games, especially when the team loses. It's obviously very hard to talk with the media when you're in the middle of a bad stretch like this. Andy Bottoms, Inside the Hall, Assembly Call, does a great job with bracketology. He's been doing it now for a couple years. Pretty accurate he's been. He's got Indiana still hanging on thanks to some of their early season non-conference wins and performances. He's got them hanging on in the tournament at this point as a number 11 seed. But I tell you what, a loss to Rutgers, I don't care whose bracketology it is, whether it's Andy's or anyone else across the country, I don't see how you could have a team, that team in the NCAA projections right now. Now, still opportunities to make up some wins, but Indiana's got to get it going. And Tuesday night, at least on paper, it looks like a great chance to get something started if Indiana's going to make a run at for sure being a lock for the NCAA tournament this year. Also, Victor Oladipo, he underwent successful surgery yesterday to repair a ruptured quad tendon in his right knee. There's no timetable set for his return, but the Pacers have been pretty direct in saying that he is done for the season, as you would expect with an injury of that magnitude. And again, I mentioned earlier that he had a video out that the Pacers sent out or tweeted out. Very positive, very uplifting. Victor Oladipo, as you would expect, handling this the best way he possibly can. And so we hope that that recovers well for him so he can come back and not miss a beat. He has had such a great start to his career at Indianapolis with the Pacers, and it would be great to see him make a career out of playing for the Pacers and continue to play at a high level when he returns from this injury. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill with fresh made-to-order food, a great selection of craft brews, and the best sports atmosphere around. Hoopsters has karaoke and a DJ on Friday nights, live bands on Saturday nights as well, and it's a great place to watch IU games too. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Greg Doyle, presented by Coffee Crossing. We'll talk IU struggles. We'll talk IU Rutgers. Little Romeo Langford, I'm sure. And Victor Oladipo, too. Coming up next with Greg Doyle right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Welcome back. Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star with us today, presented by Coffee Crossing. As always, don't forget, when you're in downtown New Albany looking for some great coffee, try out 410 Bakery and Cafe. It's the sister company of Coffee Crossing. They have great coffee, great bread, pastries as well, and they're now serving breakfast and lunch at 410 Bakery and Cafe in downtown New Albany. Greg Doyle is with us. Greg, IU's struggles continue.
Time out. If Coffee Crossing is doing as well as it's apparently doing, and they're opening new stores and whatnot, you know, I'm not down. What good is it? What am I getting out of this? I need some coffee, and I need it right now, even though I sound a little bit hyped right now and amped up. But when are they coming north? That's all I'm saying.
Come north. Help me. It's been a while. Sugar-free. What was it? Sugar-free.
Mocha.
Yep.
Because it tastes like dark chocolate, and as I will tell anybody who listens, once you have dark chocolate, you can't go back. And the sugar-free mocha there tastes like dark chocolate, so I'll go back. Anyway, about IU. So I believe I called them a dumpster fire, but what else did you want to say about it?
Well, at some point that becomes a great phrase to describe this, because the problems have gotten worse. And now at least the way I see it and the way I read it, if Indiana has any hopes of rebounding and of making an attempt to have a solid, for sure, opportunity to play in the NCAA tournament, if they don't win Wednesday – it just looks awful bleak to me. Do you see it that way?
Oh yeah, I mean it's bleak right now. It's they're in they're in major trouble because, I mean, look, Romeo is slumping right now. Something's wrong. Something's wrong with him. And I don't mean physically, although maybe that would explain it. But it's understandable. He's young, and he's taken a few shots really for the first time in his probably life where he's not just dominating people. And so far he hasn't responded very well. And I hate, gosh, I hate even saying that out loud because, man, you know how much I love that kid. But it is what it is. And he's going to make more money next year than I'm going to make in my entire life, so he'll be okay. He'll be just fine. But right now they're in trouble. And, you know, if you can't win at Northwestern, as we talked about last week, if you can't win that game, it's a bad sign. But if you can't even compete at home anymore, that's a terrible sign.
You know, with this team and Juwan Morgan and Romeo Langford obviously leading the way coming into the season, there were some question marks even then about who would be the next person in line, who would be that third scorer, who would be a third solid contributor for this team. But even with that, even with concerns at times about who Indiana had coming back or who was coming into the fold outside of those big two, did you ever see an Indiana team that lost five or six in a row in your mind with this team this season?
No, gosh, no. This was a team that I thought, and I'm sure I said this to you at some point, I thought was under the radar. Whatever their preseason ranking was, and it wasn't very good. I don't even know if they were a top 25 team. They might have been on the cusp. They might have been receiving votes. It might have depended on which poll you were looking at. I didn't see IU getting the respect I thought they deserved. I mean, I thought this was a top 15 kind of team. And one thing I don't want to do is hold the fact that I was really high on them against them. You know, it's not their fault that I thought they were going to be better than this, and so let me get mad at them for making me look bad. I don't want to do that to them. At the same time, I look at that roster. I look at the star power, the senior leadership, the head coach I still think is really good, the freshman class coming in, Evan Fitzner coming in. Where did he go? I look at what they had, and I thought they had a 10-11 deep team, and granted they've had injuries. They have. And I'm just not going to, unless the injuries are to Romeo Langford and Juwan Morgan, I'm not talking about it beyond what I just said. I don't care. Everybody has injuries. Deal with it. Especially when you're deep. You know, a team that plays six players in the first game because that's all they have, and then you start getting hurt, okay, you're in trouble. A team that goes 10-11 deep, you got guys hurt, well, that's why you're 11 deep, so now you're 8 deep. Deal with it. It's problematic, and I'm getting emails, but I'm also getting handwritten letters, and they're from older folks, and that's, I love it, but when I get a handwritten letter, it's an older folk because they tell me they're old. They tell me their age, and I'm getting them from IU fans, and they're furious, and they're going too far. They're wondering if Archie's the right guy, and Bob, you know, no, it's too soon for that. But I didn't see this coming. You know, Devontae Green has been suspended for some reason, and, you know, I watched the way he plays, and to me that's enough of a reason. Justin Smith doesn't do a whole lot for me either. I've said that to you last week. They've got guys on this team that are on team get mine. And when you're on team get mine in the NBA, well, your name is Tyreke Evans and you get paid a lot of money. When you're on team get mine in college, you bring down the whole damn ship.
Greg, that's a good point because we talk about injuries. We talk about slow starts. We talk about, you know, lack of a third score. We talk about the defense not getting the big stops it once did earlier in this season. Then you get some a suspension like Devontae Green, and you wonder what all that includes or what's going on there. And I've always thought, you know, is there more going on? And there's always more than what we know, than what fans know going on behind the scene, even with a good team, even with a team that's, you know, top five in the country. There's always something off tick or off kilter or a little fire that needs to be put out or a little problem off the court. But, you know, I've wondered two or three times over the last six games, you know, is there something off with this team, with the chemistry of this team, with the ability to hang out and get along together as a team? And you don't want to go there because all you can do is talk speculation. If there is, Archie Miller is never going to address it in a press conference. It's never a question you're going to really pose to him in that sort of manner in a press conference and get at least a direct answer on. But you have to begin to wonder when losses like this rack up, and not just losses, but bad starts, and sometime it looks like a clear lack of effort from multiple players, you have to wonder about those things.
Oh, yeah. There's, as Archie was saying after the Nebraska game, which kind of was the kickstart to this whole bad skid, they already lost several times, I think, before Nebraska. I feel like that was not their first loss in a while. That, in fact, I got the schedule right here. They'd lost. Well, that was their third loss in a row, but that was the first time where Archie really just threw up his hands and said, I don't know. You know, I can't reach these guys. I don't know. That was the moment when you knew there's problems here. When the head coach is willing to say out loud, I don't know, that's code, or not even code, for, hey, I'm behind scenes, I'm trying to reach him, that's not working, let me see if I can embarrass him into being reached. And it hadn't worked yet. And yeah, you're right about speculating on, and it's really not fair, I guess. I guess, but it's not fair to speculate on what's going on with Devontae Green, for example. But in a vacuum, if they're not going to tell us, when you're a program like IU, you know, this is not, we're not talking about IUPUI, where let's leave some of these kids alone. They're not used to the spotlight. Those kids are at IU. And if you're not going to tell us why you suspended a guy, we're going to talk about it and wonder why. And especially when the guy you suspended is a junior, I think he's a junior, Devontae, and he plays a position where he probably, I mean, you can tell the way he plays. I mean, he's got a lot of talent. I mean, he does. And you can also tell the way he plays, he knows he has a lot of talent, and he's trying to score. And you wonder if a guy like that, who has all that talent, and plays with an edge that says, hey, Romeo and Juwan, get on my back. You hop aboard, I'll carry us. That's how Devontae Green plays. I'll carry you. You wonder when a guy like that sees a freshman like Fennessy starting ahead of him, how does he handle it? Is that why he got suspended, because something broke down there? I have no idea. But it's really fair to look at the way he plays, know kind of what he thinks of himself, and see where he is in the depth chart, see that he's suspended, and connect some dots.
You brought up a point I want to ask you about, not just because of your time here in the state of Indiana, but of covering college basketball specifically for a number of years at different places, even on a national level. You know, when injuries happen, I know that we're in a different day and age as far as HIPAA laws and things that you have to be very careful about what you disclose about any person at any type of job, whether you're in the public eye like a college basketball player, or whether you're, you know, just a regular employee at the company across the way, you know, right here in Jeffersonville where we're at today. So I know that schools in general have to be much tighter-lipped with what they say, much more protective when it comes to injuries. But generally, with injuries and also suspensions and off-the-court things in covering college basketball, and I know it's just been 2 years now with Archie, but some of the same people in those roles have been there now for multiple coaches as far as communications go. Where do you put IU as far as releasing or not releasing information? Are they tighter than most schools? Are they in the middle with most schools? Are they? I don't think they're liberal in releasing information, but you can tell me better than anyone probably.
Well, I mean, I would say they're tighter than most, given the fact that we've got two kind of high-profile deals right now. I mean, Devontae Green, that's a high-profile – I mean, you're suspended, and we don't know anything. And I almost think it's a disservice to not say what it is, almost. And I say that not knowing what it is, but like I say, in a vacuum, we're all going to wonder. And it's not good. I mean, he didn't get suspended because he was, you know, helping people cross the street in the winter. I mean, he got suspended for doing something wrong, but – I don't think you're helping by not saying it. But also with Jerome Hunter, his injury, I mean, it's a badly kept secret. I mean, it's a compartment kind of syndrome in his leg. It's a vein got trapped in there, and I don't have this exactly down pat. IU won't tell us, but there's something involved with the vein got compressed, got twisted to cut off blood supply, and they're not sure, and they're not saying it won't happen at all. But I've been told by people that would know that they're not sure he's ever going to play again. And again, when I say they're not sure, I mean they're not sure. I'm not saying, I did not just report on your radio show, he's not playing again. I just reported or said that they're just not sure. I mean, that's how serious it is. That they, you know, they're hoping for the best, and they'll see. And I think it's a disservice. I don't know if it's a disservice in this case, but I think it's a little bit odd when you have a guy that important. I mean, Jerome Hunter is a big-time recruit, and an injury that severe, and it's around. I mean, people are talking about it, and you won't just come out and say it. Again, HIPAA is what it is. So they've got to tell Jerome, hey, we want you to talk about this, or please talk about it. And then if he okays it, then they can talk about it. And maybe it's his choice to not talk about it. So I should, and I will back off that one, because if that's up to Jerome Hunter, that's up to Jerome Hunter. And you know, if he was my son, I'd want him to call the shots there too.
Absolutely. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, my guest. This segment is always presented by Coffee Crossing. Other things with IU I want to hit. This Wednesday night game, very important. You'd love for that game to be at home, and I guess a perfect scenario for it to be Rutgers, not one of the great Big Ten teams, but a team that's had its moments this year, like most of the teams in the conference. You'd love for that game to be at home. It's obviously not, but it's still, even with Indiana not playing its best, it's a game that it might be closer than what you would think it should be, at least, you know, a few weeks ago or a month or so ago. But it's a game Indiana should be able to go on the road and win. And a win could get this team going. Anything positive could get this team going and get them a couple wins maybe in a row and bounce back and make up some of the bad losses that they've had recently. What type of percentage do you give to this game, and how important overall? I know that every game when you're losing is so important, and you can make a case on a radio show or in a newspaper column about why it's a must-win game, but how important is this game for the future, for the rest of the conference season for this team?
Well, it's huge, and it's one of those deals where, and this might sound a little bit weird to say it like this, but it's not so important that they win, but it's vitally important that they don't lose. Because when you beat Rutgers, what have you done? Well, you've beaten Rutgers. I mean, big deal. But when you lose Rutgers, what have you done? Holy cow, IU basketball just lost to Rutgers. And especially given that they've lost five or six, whatever the streak is right now, and lost almost all of them in a bad, certainly the last three or four, they've lost them in bad ways. You just can't keep adding bad losses. A loss to Rutgers is a bad loss. Getting blown out by Purdue is a bad loss. A loss to Rutgers will be terrible. And Rutgers has won two in a row. I mean, at home, they beat Nebraska, the team that, you know, kicked IU's butt on the road. They couldn't kick Rutgers' butt on the road about 7 days ago, and then Rutgers also won the road a few days ago and beat Penn State. So they're not catching Rutgers at the right time. And the Big Ten schedule is showing, and I'm drawing a blank right now, but I feel like Illinois just beat somebody at home. And Illinois is terrible.
Yeah,
who they
did.
Beat?
Who did they beat? I just talked about this yesterday. They beat
– was it Minnesota?
It may have been. They beat somebody, though. You're right. There were a couple crazy games on Sunday – and over the weekend generally were some teams that you wouldn't think would have won or had any chance won those games.
Oh, they beat Maryland. No, they went to Maryland and won.
But it was,
they
wasn't
won
it,
at Maryland.
Wasn't it at – am I crazy here, or was that game at Madison Square Garden?
Yeah, you're right. It wasn't Madison. I remember watching the highlights thinking, I guess Maryland gave their home game away to Madison Square, and I'm sure they had a bigger crowd than IU, than Illinois, but why would you do that? But anyway, this is not a league where – you can just assume anything, and certainly if you're IU, you can't assume anything. But Rutgers has – I remember watching their backcourt last year and thinking they've got a couple pros in their backcourt, and the pros might be liberal. I mean, maybe the pros need a visa to make some money, but they've got some talent. And IU obviously has more talent, but IU's had more talent than a lot of teams they've lost to lately. So this is, as I said, beating Rutgers, given their losing streak, is an important thing. But more than beating Rutgers is you just can't lose to them. You can't do it. If people don't understand the distinction there, it might be my fault. But I just think you can't lose to Rutgers. I don't care if you beat them. Just don't lose to them.
Absolutely. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Final topic, Victor Oladipo.
Oh, yeah. While we're speaking of IU good news, let's talk about Oladipo's torn quadriceps tendon. It's just heartbreaking, and I don't mean to be flippant about it. I mean, he's a beautiful soul. And To hear him screaming on the court in pain was not something I ever want to hear again. So that's a bad deal. And it's a bad deal when you have a guy that you like that much and the city likes that much, and he's now gone. I mean, I don't know where surgery was, but it wasn't here. And Navin Millen said last night he's not sure Victor will be in the state of Indiana for a while, much less traveling with the team. So it's a bad, bad loss for everybody. But as I wrote last week, or a couple of days ago, whenever I wrote this, it was a bad loss for the Pacers. It's a bad loss for our city. But let's not overlook, and nobody is, but this is devastating for Victor Oladipo.
Yeah, and of course, in Victor Oladipo fashion, and I mentioned this earlier in the show today, he has a video out, you know, with a message to fans, and he's Mr. Positive and you know, fighting recovery and doing the best. It just, you know, that's him in a nutshell. And I know most players probably nowadays are encouraged to do that sort of things for fan bases, especially when it's a superstar like that. But just a heart-wrenching moment. I didn't see it live. I didn't see it on TV live. But just when you see the picture of people standing around and the care and concern on people's faces and the hurt on his face, and you know what he means to the state and to the franchise and what he's been able to do, just a devastating moment for Vic, but also for the Pacers. I mean, really, wow.
Yeah, two things real quick about that. The first one is I'll make it slightly personal, not in a great way, but he had a torn quadriceps tendon. I know what that kind of looks like, sort of. I tore my biceps tendon a few years ago boxing, and you know, you feel a pain, and you look down, and your bicep isn't where it's supposed to be. The tendon snapped, and now your bicep is sitting up on your shoulder. So you know, oh my gosh, this is terrible. So I don't know what Victor looked, what he saw when he looked down at his leg, but I'm guessing his muscle wasn't where it was supposed to be. I'm guessing that was a shocking thing to see,
sure.
Much less the pain is terrible. So that's terrible. But the second part is, here's how good a guy he is, and here's how much, here's why we like him so much, is that he shot that video last night, and I was at the game, and I watched it. He shot that video not just from the hospital, but from his post-operating surgical bed. I mean, he didn't wait. He didn't wait a couple days to be in a hotel and have – I mean, he was in his damn gown shooting that video for us. And I say us because that was for the whole city. That was including me. And, you know, I appreciated seeing it myself.
Absolutely. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. Greg, it's always fun. I look forward to it on Tuesdays. Appreciate your insight. We've got some great moments ahead. I know IU fans may not see it that way right now, but college basketball, a big final month coming. We've got conference tournaments coming. We've got the NCAA tournament coming. We got high school girls sectionals begin tonight, which means the boys tournament will start soon. A great basketball time of year coming, and I look forward to going through it with you each Tuesday here on the show.
As do I, Matt. Thanks for that.
All right, Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Don't forget, when you're in downtown New Albany looking for a cup of coffee, try out Coffee Crossing's sister company, 410 Bakery and Cafe. They've got great coffee, great bread, pastries too. Now serving breakfast and lunch at 410 Bakery and Cafe in downtown New Albany. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back and talk more IU basketball. Mike Pegram of Pegs.com will be with us. We'll look in depth at the IU-Rutgers matchups and some of the details of that game. And more coming up next after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back on this Tuesday program. Mike Pegram of Pegs.com is my guest. We'll talk more IU basketball in this segment about the upcoming game with Rutgers on Wednesday evening. And I want to get into some recruiting stuff as well. And, Mike, I want to start with recruiting and really from a very general sense of terms. And, again, you've been around this stuff a long time. You've seen some really good seasons and some really bad moments as well for the program over the years that the Pegs.com site has been around. When a team slumps, five games, six games, whatever the bad stretch is, something bad happens with the team off the court, on the court, whatever it might be, how quickly can it affect recruiting? And is this bad period by Indiana over the last, I don't know, really since the first of the year, is this really something to be concerned of when it comes to Keon Brooks and his decision forthcoming to potentially choose Indiana or with some of the younger recruits in the state? Or do you think that relationships the coaches have and the long-term picture will mean a lot more than what happens in this six or seven game streak?
Oh, the latter, Matt. I think it's natural to think that it's hurting, but if it's compacted down to just a few weeks of poor play like what we have at this moment, I don't think it hurts. Sometimes it can actually help, and that you know when you're not winning, that means there's more openness for playing time. Though in Keon Brooks' situation, I think he'll play almost everywhere he chooses. So I don't think it will. And obviously, when you have an extended stretch or a full season or more, a real disappointing results, doing worse than anybody projected, that could affect impact recruiting. But you know, we lived it last year with the team not doing that well, not going anywhere, and Romeo Langford still choosing Indiana. So, you know, I think that it's more about relationships, more about the position that player's looking at and the chemistry with the player than anything.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com is my guest. With all the games, and you know, once the Big Ten season fully gets here, it moves quickly, and you're kind of consumed with it almost, you know, every few days, it seems, following Indiana. So the recruiting stuff, in a way, takes a back seat. Any update on Keon Brooks? It's something that in slow periods we talk about a lot and you track closely, but when we get into the point of this season where it's a game every few days and lots of things to follow with this team. You get away from some of the recruiting stuff. Any update on a timetable, where he's at and what IU's chances are?
No, not really. There's nothing new in the last week, if that's what you're asking. But other than it's, obviously he's not come to any decision. He's torn. Because when you come to not coming to a decision at a timetable you've previously presented, there's no better evidence than the kid who can't make up his mind or there's no strong leader. So he's probably going to wait until next month. It's almost next month as it is. I just think we just continue to hear that Indiana and Michigan State are probably the top two, and North Carolina is still very much an option. Kentucky is it's down a little bit, but the top three are kind of set, we think, in IU, Carolina, and Michigan State. And Michigan State's kind of a wild card here because they had an official visit planned, but it didn't happen. But they're also the school that has the longest relationship. There's a school, that the results on the court are speaking for themselves once again, the most proven head coach maybe of the whole group. Roy Williams is pretty proven too, but I think that they're close to home too. So, I think it's down to Indiana, Michigan State, North Carolina, and it's really a real tight top two of the two Big Ten programs.
While we're on the subject of Keon Brooks, Trace Jackson Davis did make the McDonald's All-American game. That was announced last week. Keon Brooks did not make that game. It's the best of the best. I know there's snubs or players left out every year that you could argue should have had a spot. You followed that game closely as well over the years. Is it a snub for Keon to not be a part of that game?
A little bit. There was the Williamson kid out of Texas has had a really big senior year, is well behind Keon in the rankings and got the nod. And that was the one guy that would stood out as maybe, Keon we thought was going to get picked ahead of a guy like that and didn't. Playing at a prep school in the middle of kind of nowhere there in LaPorte sometimes doesn't help. But honestly, I was surprised. Let's put it that way.
Mike Pegram, Pigs.com, our guest, and Mike is with us Tuesdays. We talk lots and lots of IU basketball and related topics at this time of year. Rutgers, Wednesday night. Indiana goes on the road. We've talked some about the game this week and a lot about it today on the show, but we really haven't gotten into some of the more specific things about the game. Rutgers is not great by any stretch of the imagination, but as I peruse Big Ten highlights each night or the scoreboard the next morning to see who played well and who won and what the conference standings look like, they've had a couple wins this season that have been impressive.
Yeah, they guard people really well, and that allows you to win games maybe. They did so at Penn State. Even though Penn State's at the bottom of the league right now, any road win is impressive. And Rutgers has won two straight games. They knocked off Nebraska on their home court, something Indiana couldn't do. They knocked off Ohio State on their home court, had some nice wins. And won at Miami early in the year. They're just starting to become the identity of the coach, Steve B. Carroll, who's been there now, I think is maybe his third year. And he's always had a good record as far as building good defensive-oriented teams, and I think they're 34th in the country right now in defensive efficiency, and they also offensive rebound the ball extremely well, top 30 in the nation. And maybe they don't have a superstar guy or a guy who's going to be all Big Ten, but they spread the wealth pretty well, and they're not completely awful offensively, and if they do don't score the ball well, they go out and get it on the offensive glass. And I would think that they actually are the might be, I know it's going to be about a pick'em game in Vegas and Indiana, way Indiana's playing, not a game you want to bet on them. 6-game losing streak and just really questioning themselves. So it's the kind of game, though, that if Indiana is going to turn their season around or at least get in above the line for the NCAA tournament, they got to win this game because the odds of them winning at Michigan State on Saturday are slim and none.
Absolutely, and I think as you look toward the postseason, again, with what's behind Indiana and what's just ahead, not that there aren't some winnable games coming up, but it's one of those games that for the NCAA tournament purposes, I think they're in a tough spot right now, a questionable spot for the tournament right now, but that's a game Wednesday that I don't see how you can – I don't know how they can get there without that win, and I know that there's all sorts of different paths and scenarios and people that know a lot more about the bracketology and how that works than what I do, but that just stands out loud and clear to me as a game that you've got to win. You've got to get some momentum going back in a positive direction, and you might fall again at Michigan State, the next game, but there after that are some games coming up that Indiana should win, could win, must win, however you want to say it, if they're going to get there to the big dance this year.
Yeah, you win this game tomorrow, and then you win the two home games next week. That's 3 out of 4. You might get back Race Thompson, who's been starting to do a little full contact stuff and warm up before the games, and all of a sudden your front court depth is much better. Not that he's going to be a world beater after missing so much time, but defensively he's pretty good and can hit an open jumper, which is something this team has struggled with. I think that, they have a real shot, and maybe you get Devontae Green back next week and things, and that calm down in that front. So 3 out of 4 is really a benchmark for this team and maybe the decider whether they're playing in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, absolutely. Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, our guest. I was going to ask you about Race Thompson. It sounds like other than an illness yesterday that Coach Miller mentioned on his radio show, he's been back at practice trying to get into some sort of reasonable shape to play Big Ten basketball is difficult when you've been out as long as what Race was out. Do you think that when he is close or at a level that he can play reasonably, that they're going to give him a pretty good shot, given that Indiana needs some depth there and has had plenty of struggles with those positions?
Yeah, I think so. He's already used a redshirt last year. He could possibly get an exemption for, 6 years to play four, and that's, I think, weighing on the program right now. They may want to wait and see how he does in this, first few practices when he's going full contact and go from there and decide whether it's worth the longer shot of getting that exemption. And it might not be that long of a shot. We don't run across these cases very much, but they need front court depth. There's no doubt about that. But he hasn't played in such a long time. You don't know how good he's going to look. But you have to talk to the kid too about that 6 years in college. That's a big deal, and what his family's outlook on that, and go from there. But I would think that they'll make a decision, I would think, in the next week or so. A lot of us kind of thought, well, maybe they won't use him on these road games because the road is a difficult place to get back into things if you missed a whole season as he has. But that Iowa game next week, that when they get back to Assembly Hall, that might be a time that he could come back on the court. I don't know, just guessing based on past history.
Mike, I want to close with this. I don't know that you have the schedule in front of you, but January for Indiana included Illinois, Michigan, Maryland, Nebraska, Purdue, Northwestern, Michigan, Rutgers forthcoming on Wednesday. February will start, as far as Big Ten play goes, or play goes for Indiana, on Saturday at Michigan State, which obviously is a really tough game. Then it's Iowa at home, Ohio State at home, at Minnesota, Purdue at home, at Iowa, Wisconsin at home. That closes out the month of February before Indiana will have 3 games in March. January's been tough on this team. It's also been a tough stretch of games with some key road games in the mix as well. How do you compare and contrast the 2 months and the schedules? I know Indiana needs wins however they can get them at this point, but when you compare those 2 months of play, the road games, who's at home, who's on the road, the number of big opponents and top-level opponents, what do you think about the upcoming month compared to what Indiana's getting ready to finish when the Wednesday night game is in the books?
All very winnable games, with the exception of Michigan State on the road. They can win a bulk of those games and put themselves back, maybe in terms of a 6-7-ish type seed for the tournament, and be optimistic and have a better outlook for the Big Ten tournament because of those wins. The schedule is a little bit tough at the end with Michigan State coming in, but They really have, gotten through most of their most difficult games. And after Saturday, really, there is no game. You say, hey, there's no way they're going to win that game. And so their opportunity is there. It's just a matter of the health and the mental aspect of this team is huge right now, because they just don't look the same as they have. They're worn down. They're just obviously not playing very well at all. And if that turns around, is there some reason for them to feel optimistic? They might be able to finish this and make it a significant step in the right direction versus last season.
Mike Pegram, Beegs.com, with us on a Tuesday edition of the program as normal. Mike, as always, thanks for the info. Thanks for the chat. We'll do it again next week.
All right. Talk to you then. Take care, everyone.
All right. A loaded show. Greg Doyle, Mike Pegram, back-to-back, as always, on Tuesdays. Lots of opinions and lots of information on this IU team and their struggles in the midst of a six-game losing streak. Wednesday night, the game, Rutgers on the road for this team, and it is a game that is scheduled to start at 7 o'clock, which means our pregame coverage here on the Big X with the IU Network and Don Fisher will begin at 6 o'clock, an evening full of IU hoops tomorrow, Wednesday night, here on the Big X Sports Radio. That's going to wrap things up for today. Thanks for being with us. A couple quick reminders for you on podcasting. We're available on SoundCloud. It's a free app you can download, or you can simply point your browser to soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. We're also on Apple Podcast. You can search the Hoosier Report. And on Apple Podcast, if you enjoy the program, the show, leave us a positive rating and a good review as well. It'll help us reach others that might be interested in a radio show and a podcast about IU basketball and sports here in Southern Indiana. That's going to wrap things up for today. It's colder out there this morning, no question about it, and it's supposed to get even more cold if I've got my facts straight here later today with some wind moving in the area. I would be surprised if some of the schools aren't on a delay tomorrow because of weather. So if you're out tonight, you're out in the morning, be careful, be safe, and don't forget tonight, girls' sectionals get underway. I think I'll check out the Jeffersonville Bedford North Lawrence game at New Albany. Should be a good one. We'll see if the Red Devils can knock off the power Bedford North Lawrence. Have a great day, and I'll be back with you tomorrow at 11 o'clock right here on the Big X Sports Radio for the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.